This recording is brought to you courtesy of New Energy Times. The slideshow for this recording is also available at www.newenergytimes.com. Dr. Michael McCoubrey, Director of the Energy Research Center at SRI International, is speaking to the audience at the 11th International Conference on Condensed Matter Nuclear Science in Marseille, France, on November 1, 2004. His talk begins with a reference to the public lecture on cold fusion at last year's conference by Dr. David J. Nagel, which took place in Cambridge, Massachusetts. New Energy Times is pleased to present Dr. Michael McCoubrey.
In response to questions from the audience, many of them good questions, and I thought Dave's handling of that session was masterful. But one of the questions was, okay, the results are so good, the results are so impressive, so clear that there's a nuclear effect, why isn't there more interest? Why isn't government involved more in funding this field? And it was determined that some political initiative should be made to try and reattract the attention of US governmental funding. Randy Heckman, who I'd had known previously, stood up and said, look, I know Vern Ehlers, who's a congressman from Michigan. He's a PhD nuclear physicist, or physicist anyway, the only physicist in Congress.
Better if you walk this side.
Walk this way. And he knew Spencer Abrams, who was the Secretary of Energy, and he volunteered to use his personal and political contacts to contact these two gentlemen in order to try and push forward the initiative in the U.S. government and at DOE. Peter Hagelstein, as chairman of the conference, also somewhat encouraged by the results, the response of the scientific community to the conference, felt it a duty to write to Spencer Abrams a letter simply bringing to the Department of Energy the attention, the fact that something important was going on, had taken place under the auspices of a reputable society in a reputable place. So these people, I was added for some reason, I guess just to talk about it afterwards. So these four people formed the core of an attempt to attract the Department of Energy's attention. But the two contacts, Randy's and Peter's, resulted in some feedback from DOE saying, what you're proposing is interesting. We would like to be better informed. We were invited to attend DOE November 5th or 6th. I've forgotten now. I remember November 5th because it was Talbot Chubb's 80th birthday, and he told me not to make an issue of it, but it was Talbot's 80th. 80th birthday, which means he'll turn 81 this week. I just bring that to your attention. So there was the first milestone is a meeting, and I'll describe what happened there. 5th of November 2003, we submitted a paper. August 1st, 2004, we had an oral review under the auspices of DOE on 23rd of August 2004. The DOE response to all of that activity has yet to be formulated, although we were promised that it would be formulated by this week, by the end of last month. It has not yet been. So Hagelstein, Heckman, McCoubrey, Nagel walked in to visit James Decker, Principal Deputy Director of the Office of Sciences. He's a very senior man at DOE, essentially the top of the permanent bureaucracy under the political appointees. There were assistants to Ann Davies and also assistants to Spencer Abrahams present. Ann Davies was supposed to attend. Decker's responsibility is the Office of Science. Ann Davies is responsible for fusion. She wasn't in attendance. I don't know whether that was good or bad, but the fact is she was not in attendance. The points that we were trying to make there was that the original ERAB report was not wrong, but of necessity, the work that went into writing the first ERAB report was hasty, and the results reported there were reported prematurely. The other thing that probably all of you are very well aware of, is that the ERAB report actually doesn't say anything very bad about cold fusion. It says that what was observed and witnessed by the various reviewers did not merit special funding, but that funding should be provided to the field in the normal manner of science. Unfortunately, that wasn't interpreted that way, and the general interpretation was that the field was wrong, it was completely wrong, and no more money should be given to the field. And that really has been DOE's position up to this point. We said there have been a lot of progress in the field, there have been thousands of papers published, at least 1,000 peer-reviewed papers, in fact, a successful conference in Cambridge. It was the right time for a review, and the field was clearly a matter of DOE's responsibility. And we presented some data. As a result of that meeting, Jim Decker, who, by the way, is an extraordinary gentleman, very capable, and in none of our dealings has he been anything other than kindly, irrational, and completely supportive. Decker was reported by UPI as saying, they told me about a lot of research on cold fusion that has been done since the last review. He also said this, which I like. The physicist with whom he met possessed excellent credentials. Based upon the data, he said that a new review of cold fusion is warranted and that the Office of Science will pass along the material to reviewers with appropriate expertise. Okay, that's great. This is a... this is a map of DOE structure. I wish this were true, actually. Around here is a whole lot of offices, about 20 boxes. Only one of them is science. So Decker sits in this box and he reports to Abrahams, who is in this box. You have everything that's important, actually. And sciences is a $3.4 billion budget. So this is not a small deal. You're talking to the man who wields a $3.4 billion budget. So getting his attention is probably worth something. What did we ask for? What were we doing in there? We're asking for DOE to appoint or select a panel to examine the progress made since the original ERAB report, almost exactly 14 years previously, November 1989. The basic question is there any science here? In the 14 years that has ensued since the original ERAB report, has anybody done any science? Is there anything of any value in this field whatsoever? If so, does this science merit further DOE attention, either as a possible energy technology, or is it just a new effect in physics? We wanted a comprehensive review of the field, of the whole field, of everything that had been done since the original ERAB report. We wanted the review to be both public and transparent. It was clear what was going on. We also wanted a review that was and appeared to be objective. Decker agreed to all of this. It's not what we got, but this is what was agreed to. We would like a process that we could help design and guide, and Jim Decker also said, yes, you will be involved. We will involve you in the design of this process. It wasn't clear to me in my infinite naivety what that actually meant until later. And the hoped-for result was removing the stigma that has prevented funding. It's not just the money. It's the absence of participation from scientists with relevant expertise that could help us get to the bottom of the rather complex materials issues associated with the effect that we're studying. Well, there were several telephone calls, one of which I remember very well. The word acrimonious is probably excessive, but there was strong discussion, particularly between my friend Peter, who is the mildest of men, and some of the reviewers. And the problem was, What they were suggesting in response to our input was rather different from what we had asked for. What it became clear was they didn't want to review a lot of material. They were going to conduct the review in the manner they normally use for funding proposals, which is a semi private, in this case to be totally private, review process. They didn't want it to be transparent. They didn't even want to discuss the issue of whether it was going to be transparent or not. And this is where Peter came unstuck with the people on the committee, because he had the ridiculous temerity to suggest that sometimes the decisions of DOE have been thought or seems to be politically motivated. This was denied. This is completely denied. And furthermore, we were not to discuss that anymore. We know communication from the reviewers except what DOE headquarters chooses to release. So basically, there was going to be a process. A sentence would come out of the process. There would be no way of associating the input and the output. They wanted just a few-line executive summary to result. And we were told that this would come from Decker. It was implied that it would come from Decker, and maybe that is what will happen. They wanted it quickly. Quickly on DOE timescale is, you know, 1 year time constant rather than 1 decade time constant. But they did want to do it. They wanted to do it quickly. They wanted to do it their way. What they wanted was a 15-page written report, 6 papers selected from by us to further advance the case made in the written report. They wanted the review to be closed. We would push this material in the general direction of DOE, who would distribute it to people unknown, unstated, and we would get no feedback. And there was to be a 1 day oral presentation of selected papers. This would result in a short executive statement. And Peter's interpretation of this was DOE was working towards reviewing of a subset of the area to provide an internal recommendation about what, if anything, DOE should do in the area. So we're faced with a bit of a dilemma here. What we had asked for and what had been agreed to was very different from what was on the table. We had to trust ourselves, and basically trusting in part the progress of this whole field, and the results of this deliberation will affect in some way everybody in this room and more, to a process with known shortcomings. The DOE review process is not widely regarded as being the fairest of all possible review processes. And no recount, and there's no recourse. If they came out with something that is, you know, in the face of us, to us, ridiculous, we have no way back. So in you know, the parlance of the democratic process with Florida in mind, process with no recount. The brief format did not allow us to review the field. In 15 pages, how can you review the field of cold fusion in 15 pages? This is the part which I came to regret and regret and regret. Well, by walking through the door, we had offered to do all of the work, put in all of the time, pay all of the bills, time, travel, whatever. We had offered to do that. DOE didn't have to offer to do anything. We had asked for it. If they agreed to it, we get to do the work. That was what we had volunteered to do. For an output that couldn't be correlated traceably, at least, with the input. So the question we had was, how would this benefit the field? Will this benefit the field? There was a lot of discussion, and the four of us and others were involved in the discussion process. But in the end, there's some good news here. DOE wanted to conduct a review, and they wanted to do it quickly. They had already tasked some senior people, some of whom, the people that they had tasked, were known and well-respected. And Dave Nagel, in particular, is quite familiar with DOE staff and individuals. And the people that were to be associated with this review were good people. So this is a good thing. In fact, much of the benefit to the cold fusion community was in the process, not the outcome. I would say that 90% of all of the benefit of this DOE review has already accrued to the field. The increased attention, the increased discussion, the elevated level of debate, all of this has occurred, and we don't even know what the output of the process is. So we anticipated, we're wise enough to anticipate that the process itself would be beneficial. And in a sense, this bullet number 3 saved our butts. Because the process... process that they had defined was bounded in scope and time. 15 pages, how hard can that be? Questions, do we trust the data? Do we trust our abilities to communicate it effectively to unknown and silent reviewers? And the bottom point, do we believe DOE's interest to be well motivated? Why did they want this? In the end, none of this philosophical, soul-searching was relevant. We had asked for the review. It was an opportunity to promote an elevated discussion. Only one direction is possible. And where the status of cold fusion at DOE was in the darkest basement. We could not go down. So whatever was going to happen, it would be a beneficial outcome. We had an opportunity and an incentive to create a record of scientific value. The paper that we set out to write, I'm very glad that we put in the effort and worked to do this. This paper will stand independent of the outcome of the review. And what am I doing here? Why am I here now? DOE wanted a secret review with no disclosure of process, but we are perfectly free. We didn't agree to not discuss or disclose the process, so we were able to, and I'm beginning the process of fully disclosing the process. So at the bottom it is, it's time to get to work. So basically we'd asked to do it. They said yes. We don't have any choice. We have to do it. We did it. Peter had, poor soul, Peter had come to SRI to conduct a mini sabbatical. We were supposed to work on new projects. Peter was there for 2 or 3 months. All of that time, we were basically writing the review, conducting the discussions and analysis, putting this review together. So Peter's sabbatical to do science became a sabbatical to write a review for the DOE process. This was done at SRI. Most of the writing Peter and I did. Talbot in Washington, I asked Talbot Chubb to provide input on the work of Arata and Zhang. Talbot's been very close to Arata and Zhang, and their experiments are very important. Talbot did a wonderful job, and we incorporated that into the review. Dave Nagel and Graham Hubler in Washington, D.C., also provided a lot of the input. Randy Heckman from Michigan and Mike Milich of No Fixed Abode provided a sanity check, a review of the words, help in the selection of the 6 papers. Even the selection of 6 papers out of 3,000 papers, how do we select 6? And we must have spent 20 or 30 hours of conference calls in order to beat down this issue of what are the papers trying to prove, how do they supplement the material that is written, and also in the design of the oral review. Why did we do what we did? Why do we write what we did? We anticipated a determined attack. I should say we didn't have, in the end of it, a determined attack. We knew there was insufficient time or place for a review of the field. This necessarily had to be a topical review, and what I call the Rumpelstiltskin problem. Most of the people that were to review this had been asleep with respect to this field since 1989 or 1990. Most of the senior scientific folk who took the ERAB-1 report at face value felt that there was no need to consider the work that we all of us do, and they really hadn't paid any attention to this field. We decided to focus on material that we could best defend from direct experience. And we knew we needed to address Fleischmann ponds, of course, the PDD effect, and also Jones neutrons. And this is what these guys knew. This was 1989 and 1990, what was called fusion. It was the Fleischmann ponds, Jones neutron effect. So this was material that we had to cover. These are the papers. What we did was we wrote the review, we uploaded all or as many as we could. I think we got them all of the citations onto the DOE website. So we didn't want the reviewers saying the material was difficult to access. So we wrote a review. The review is available. I'll probably, with the agreement of my co-authors, include it as a as part of the conference proceedings as a way of publishing it further. But the intention is actually to make all of this material available to everybody on a CD-ROM so that you know what was done, what was said, what were the papers cited, what were the papers attached. We didn't write 15 pages. We wrote 15 pages and another 15 pages of appendices and references, 130 citations. All of this material was put up on the website for the reviewers to premeditate. This is the layout of the report, the appendices, something on calorimetry, something on the case experiments at SRI, something on the Arata Zhang effort written by Talbot and I. These are some of the figures, in fact, all of the figures, and you'll recognize a lot of them, something to do with Jones, something to do with Wolf neutrons. And Kevin Wolf's contributions need to be recognized, and certainly in my association with him, his observation of neutrons remain one of the more compelling evidences that neutrons are associated with this effect. These are the conclusions. Yes. Existence of a physical effect that produces heat in metal deuterides, quantities greatly exceeding chemistry. All of this, all of you know, by the way. But these are the conclusions of our paper. Observations have been reproduced. Some of the reasons for failure to reproduce are now understood. Evidence in support of a D plus D to helium 4 reaction. Evidence in support of conventional fusion products and unconventional fusion products. And what we concluded in the paper is the scientific questions posed by these experiments are, in the opinion of the authors, the four of us, worthy and capable of resolution by a dedicated program of scientific research. This is where we left it. It was an oral review. Jones, Lipson, Graham Hubler, Vittorio talking about work in Italy, Peter talking about the bridge between theory and heat, and I talked about mostly the heat and helium results at SRI. The presenters, the organizers, these are the DOE folk. Pat Damer was not there. She had a budget crisis that day. These are the reviewers. This will all be available to you in written form so you can look at it. I should say that most of the reviewers of the oral review had not really taken the time to fully digest the material that we had given them, and they didn't come armed with new insightful questions. There was a bit of a deja vu. It was like being back in 1989 or 1990. For the most part, this was a disappointment to me. I had hoped that by providing them with these materials, it would be an elevated level of discussion. There certainly wasn't an elevated level of discussion, although many of these folk are very smart, and there were some good questions and discussion. There was some follow-up, and wanted some details. I provided them with follow-up, and we'll make all of this material available to all of you. And this is the end. The end of the process is a statement that Jim Decker made to Brian Josephson, who will be here tomorrow, as a result of Josephson's needling him on the state of the review. Says that there are 18 reviewers, 9 present, 9 written reviewers. Only just got the input. We're carefully sorting through the reviewers' responses, that he had, in fact, responded to the media. The media, I think, is, in this case, Bob Bass, but that something would come out by the end of October. Something isn't going to come out to October, but he assures us that he's working on the release as soon as possible, and I will close with some acknowledgments. The DOE folk that we dealt with were superb. They were very good, very competent, very capable people, serious-minded, and as far as I can tell, just determined to understand what was going on and provide input to their superiors on the basis of what is. And these guys, Talbot, Graham, Steve Jones, Andre, the presenters, all of these guys did a tremendous amount of work, and I thank them all, and I thank you.